Based on experience that I've had for 30 years in public life in Quebec, and the basic conclusion is that it's time for us to take a good look at an option to 10 provinces and 3 territories, because it's possible that Quebec is going to leave at some point, and if it does, we have done no preparation at all to see what we would look like after that happened. And on top of that, once we look at Canada with 9 provinces and 3 territories, we give ourselves an alternative in the negotiations that we have to do with Quebec each time they make a new demand.
One of the interesting things, certainly in the early parts of the book, you talk about sort of the life of an Anglophone in Quebec, and that it's an Anglophone is more than just someone that speaks English most of the time, that it's almost like it is a minority group, divided by language, obviously. Mm-hmm. But one of the interesting contrasts, I think, which I'd like you to speak to, is that in the rest of Canada, or, that term, for that catch-all, that we've sort of, there's an impression that we've done a lot to sort of accommodate the French language and Francophones with services and all that. But it seems that all political parties in Quebec, and you speak at length about this, have sort of recognized that it's okay to limit English, and so they haven't played that sort of same game.
That's right. This whole experience of mine began when I was working in Ottawa when René Lévesque got elected in 1976. Mm-hmm. I was a Quebec civil servant on loan to the federal government. I went back there because I wanted to go back to Quebec because I could see some interesting things were going to be happening there. When I arrived at the head of the public services office, he said to me, "There are no more places for Anglophones here in the civil service of Quebec. You'd better resign." And you have to remember, I was speaking to him in French. I mean, we were talking French, but the Anglophone he was referring to was me, not because of the language I was speaking, but because of my ethnic origin. And I thought this was very unacceptable, and I went out to try to prove him wrong. But today, 30 years later, there are no Anglophones in the civil service of Quebec. They have just never been given an opportunity. And of course, there are far fewer Anglophones in the province of Quebec living there than there were at that time. We've lost about a third of the Anglophone community.
And is that because... And so it's sort of because, well, the rest of Canada, is sort of, according to the book, while we've strived to become a bilingual country, Quebec is really focused on being a unilingual French province.
Yeah, the first part of the book, which I talk about Quebec, I describe how the Liberal Party of Quebec in 1978 said that they would create a bilingual Quebec, a place for the Anglophones as well as the Francophones. And they made a number of very specific commitments, 8 or 9 of them, the things that they would change if they were elected. And when they finally did get elected, they didn't put any of them into effect at all. They never, they realized that popular sentiment in Quebec, the Francophone community, did not want a viable bilingual province. And they wanted a French province, and that's what it's become. It's still a nice place to live. I live there, and I'm going to continue to live there. But it is a unilingual French society, and people who are not speaking French are considered to be outsiders.
So that's the first section of the book. The second section sort of looks more towards, life after a 50% plus one or whatever the threshold is, yes vote. So what is a 9-province Canada look like?
Well, I think, first of all, it would be more prosperous, because Quebec is an economic drag on Canada. There would be no hole created by the departure of Quebec. People would move from the Atlantic provinces to Ontario in the same way that people move from Alaska to the state of Washington in the United States. We would have French as an official language here in the rest of Canada, I think, because I think the Canadian government would want to serve people in the language of their choice. I think it would be a place where everybody was proud to be a Canadian. 95% of the English-speaking population of Canada think of themselves as Canadians first. 12% of the French-speaking population of Quebec thinks itself as a Canadian first. 82% or 88% say they're Quebecois. They're not members of our Canadian society.
And so... The that we have to, and I think the book sort of says that we have to sort of treat it as not the end of the world, which sort of the popular, you look at, you know, three different views of separatism, I forget the exact term, sort of the optimists and the end of the world theory, and I think you sort of fall into the third, which is, you know, it might happen, we can just deal with it.
Well, there's no doubt in my mind, and I think the book sort of gives chapter and verse on this subject, there's no doubt in my mind that Canada, of nine provinces and three territories, would be a very viable country. And once we have that belief amongst ourselves, it gives us a lot more power to take a look at the demands that Quebec makes on Canada and say yes or no, gives us options. Right now, we're terrified that if Quebec it doesn't get what it wants in terms of status and money, it will leave, and we've been brainwashed to believe that if Quebec leaves, the country will break up. If we don't believe that, if we believe we have a future together without Quebec, it just makes it so much easier for us to negotiate with Quebec on the day-to-day issues.
It makes it a little more of an even playing field rather than one where we're held hostage.
Exactly.
Okay. So this is the second edition of the book. The first one came out in 2000. Obviously, a lot's changed since then. I mean, a new federal government, things seem a little different. There's a federalist government in Quebec, at least for the time being. What sort of differences in the situation are there now, 7 years later, than in the first
edition? Well, the main thing I'm noticing as I go around talking about this book is that people aren't shocked anymore. I won't say that they're convinced I'm right on this subject. But the first time around with the book, people just didn't even want to hear about it. They were shocked, and it was too upsetting. But this time, people say, well, let's talk about these options. This is a reasonable approach. I saw the results of a Globe and Mail web poll they ran a few days ago. They asked the question, have you come to the conclusion that Canada would be better off with Quebec? They got 50,000 plus replies. And 63% of the respondents said, yes, we think Canada would be better off without Quebec. 5 years ago, if they'd asked that poll, they might have got 5% that were better. So there's been movement. People are feeling easier with the idea than they did 6 or 7 years ago.
And what do you think changed that?
Well, I think each time Quebec makes a demand for special status, for representation abroad, for more money, something that the other provinces cannot get, and Ottawa goes along with it, another 1,000 irritated people join the crowd of people who say maybe we'd be better off without them. So I think it's just the unending demands and the unending willingness to accede to these demands. There's a new book out I was looking at on the weekend called French Kiss, which describes Stephen Harper's efforts to...
By Chantal Hébert.
By Chantal Hébert. Stephen Harper's efforts to get Quebec votes by promising to fix something called the fiscal imbalance, which is just a way of sending more money from Ottawa to Quebec. And I think it's fitting that the way she's framed it is that what we're going to get in return is a French kiss. It's money for love, which I think is technically against the law under the criminal code, but anyway, it's an unsatisfactory way to get people to love you by simply sending them money, but there's 50% of the population of Quebec that says it doesn't want to be Canadian at all, and two-thirds of the other 50% says it only wants to be Canadian because of the money.
It's interesting about the fiscal imbalance that it seems that the sort of, well, we need more cash argument has spread to the other provinces over the last 4 or 5 years, too. So it's not uncommon to hear Dalton McGuinty or Lauren Calvert talk about that same sort of, you know, lack of funding that we're getting from the federal government. It's almost as if the why not us approach has spread.
Well, I think it's been there since the beginning. I think it's inherent in the federal system that the provinces are always going to be trying to get more money out of the federal government. I mean, regardless of the province. The difference between Quebec and, say, Saskatchewan or Ontario is that they're not threatening to separate if they don't get what they want. So they get Quebec gets different treatment than the other provinces because they've got a bigger club. And my point is we take that club away from them. We say, we've thought this thing through, and we're okay without you. Now what is it you want? So they put them back on the same footing as the other provinces in their demands for money.
And just and negotiate from a position where there's certain things we're not willing to give up.
You got it.
Cool. Well, the book is out now in bookstores.
The book is in bookstores, $20. You can read it if you pick it up after breakfast on a Saturday morning. You can be finished by supper time, and I think you'll enjoy it because it's got a lot of stuff that is easy to read and I hope pertinent to the problem.
I think it's an important read, too, just to make sure you have that other side there. Well, thank you very much, Mr. Skellen.
Thank you.
We'll be back just after the break, but first we'll play a tune.